A lot of times you got a lot of good Baptists and you got a lot of good politicians and Republicans, but it's hard to find a real Christian, you know it? And somebody just loves like the Lord does, amen? Maggie came home one day with a raggedy Ann. Said, "Mom, look what I found in the neighbor's garbage can."
The Lord loves the broken ones this morning. Those that need a little patching up. If you need a little patching up here this morning, you're at the right place. You're at the right place. This is not a club for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. That's what this is. And I hope that you'll see it that way. I've had lots of people tell me, "I'm not good enough to come to church." And that's not the way to look at it. This is a hospital where sick people come. Sinners. You're not too good to come. You're not too bad to stay out. You're welcome. The ground is level at the foot of the cross when you walk in them doors here this morning. There is no such thing as a good, better. We're all sinners and need help of God's grace. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. And I want you to sit still and give me your attention for a minute. And I want to show you a little truth here in the Word of God here this morning. Luke, chapter number 14. I was up in the late last night, early this morning, whichever one you want to call it, studying and thinking about these scriptures and the thing that I wanted to try to get across to you this morning. Luke chapter number 14. And I'm going to read you a parable here that the Lord gave and then preach on this subject this morning. Three men who insulted God. Three men who insulted God. You say, would a human being actually look up and insult God Almighty? Sure can, does, and do, and will. Three men who insulted God. Luke chapter number 14, and we'll look at verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. You reading with me? Verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time. Notice the southern talk that the Holy Ghost uses. Supper. Don't ever let nobody criticize you for being a hillbilly for saying supper. You don't improve on the Holy Ghost language. I used to say, well, we're going to eat supper. And people up north told me they was going to take me out to dinner. And I was ready to go at 12 o'clock. And they didn't come get me. And they meant after church at night. Oh, you people are crazy. But in the Bible, the Lord said supper. Now, the word dinner is in the Bible too. But dinner like dine, come and dine, eat, diner. But supper is when the Lord, you sup a little bit. Sup with him and him. That's right. Now, look at here what he said. He bid them at supper time, them that were bidden, come. That's the Lord's invitation. For all things are now ready. See verse 17? Now I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Everything's ready for you to come to the Lord. And they all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. Now why does the Bible say they made an excuse? Anybody know? Because they didn't have one. That's right. Nobody has an excuse. You have to make an excuse. You don't have an excuse to keep getting right with God. You make one. They made excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. He is in real estate, this fellow was. I pray thee have me excused. The next one said, in verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. He was into animals and had a farm and livestock, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And the other said, I married a wife. Somebody said, he's the only one that really had an excuse. Yeah, poor fellow couldn't do nothing no more. I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He didn't say, have me excused. He said, I can't. Well, I couldn't come if I wanted to. You won't let me. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. Now that's a picture of God, people. Look at that. Being angry. Did this, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither, bus ministry, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, go down every little old street, every little old pig trail, lanes, dirt roads, gravel roads, and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know what? The Bible, you say, isn't that a little strong what you said about them men insulting God, Brother Danny? It said the Lord was angry. Amen. He was angry. Down, Brother Mike. It said the Lord was angry. And them men said, I can't come because I bought some land. Another man said, I can't come because I bought some cows and horses. Another man said, man, I just got married. I can't come. Bible said that man got angry. He got angry. And the Bible said, he said, you tell them guys, none of them guys will taste of my supper. That's what he's talking about. Now the Lord's good this morning. The Lord's merciful. And the Lord will forgive you. Watch me, brother, please. I'm too loud. And the Lord will forgive you of every and any sin that you can commit. But if you insult him and say, I don't care what you say, I'm too busy, I ain't going to get out, I'm making a living, I'm getting rich, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I don't. Then the Bible said the Lord of them was angry. And the Bible said that what he done is he went out and said, well, we'll just get somebody to take your place. None of them guys are going to taste one bite of the supper that I have prepared. Now, these three men represent mankind. When the Lord told these parables and stories, he did it for a reason, and it covers all of mankind. Humans fall into these categories. That's why the Bible is ageless and timeless. You could preach this sermon 1,000 years ago, and it still relates. No other book is like that. No other book, ever other book changes. Science, history, romance, all those books change ever 50 or so years. The Bible says the same. You could preach the same story 1,000 years ago, and it fit people just like it fits them today. Man, now he don't go out now and get horses and cows, most of them. He goes on his boat. But it's the same thing. Amen? The men who insulted God. Now, the awful thing, it's an awful thing to insult God. You know why it's an awful thing to insult God? Number one, because of who he is. Number two, because of what he has done. And number three, because he is of his great power. He is the one that decides if you live or die. He is the one that can pull the plug on you anytime he wants to. The Lord this morning has your life in his hands. I've seen teenagers, 13, 14 years old, just snub their nose up. Hey, guys, don't preach to me. Don't come in here telling me that stuff. Listen, buddy, it's not the preacher you're rejecting. It's God that you're saying no to. You know, don't preach to me. It's not the preacher that you're saying no to. It's the Lord God Almighty you're saying no to. Listen to me. Now, I want to tell you this morning, you hear me this morning? The Bible says that they rejected the Lord. Now, let's say three things about this, and I want to talk about these three men right quickly. First, you notice that great supper. It was the biggest and best ever. The Bible tells us that a man made a great supper. And brother, when he says a great supper, he wasn't messing around. I mean, I don't know, the biggest buffet you've ever been to, the biggest... I went to one not long ago where there's Chinese food, and it was probably long from here, that wall. And then there was another one, and then another one, and I want to go around and try to get a little bite of all the meat. And I got shrimp, another kind of shrimp, and beef and chicken, and then I started eating it, and I thought it was on fire, and I thought, man, something was good, but I don't know which one burnt me, because I was eating them all. And I thought, man, look at all that food, and you try to sample all of it, and then you say, buddy, this man made a supper. He didn't mess around. And the Lord has done that for you this morning. Do you realize what God's done for you, friend? I don't know who you are here this morning, but do you realize what God's done for you? Do you realize that there is a supper prepared? Give me down, please, brother. Do you realize this morning that there is a supper prepared in heaven this morning that God has made for his children that one day, that the likes of which you've never seen before? I've heard people say, boy, I want to go on a cruise because it's all you can eat steak and it's all you can eat. And I mean, I'm all for that, man. That sounds good to me. But none of that can compare to the supper that the Lord has made, and he's going to give it to you. And it is an insult to God to snub your nose at that and say, I don't care, I appreciate it, but no thanks. It is the supper that he's made. It was a great supper. And then it was a great invitation. The Bible said he sent forth servants. The Lord sent forth servants. He said, you go and you tell everybody to come to the supper. So this servant went down that road, and this servant went down that road, and this servant went down that road. Can you imagine going into there? Yes, I'm sitting here by the Lord, and he's having a big supper, and he'd like for you to come. Well, that's okay. We don't go to suppers. We're busy on weekends. He goes to the next house. Hey, we got a big supper going. Would you like to come? Well, come on, man. Don't come in here preaching to me. I know where the table's at. Five won't come to eat. He goes the next one. Well, there's a big supper. Would you like to come? He said, I've just bought some cows and horses. Really, I'm too busy. He goes the next one. Would you like to come? That's what bus workers do on Saturday. That's what we do at work. That's what we do at school. That's what I did. That little boy I told you I got to lead to the Lord the other day. It's such a blessing. Those servants. That's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm the servant inviting you to the supper. And brother, that's what they did. It was a great invitation. A great invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Let whosoever will come. Come, for all things are now ready. All the way through the Bible. The Lord's saying come. Come. Billy Graham have them crusades have sung that song thousands and thousands of times. Just as I am. Let him come. Let him come. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Lord wants you to do this morning. You know what the Lord wants you to do? Come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. You don't have to have goosebumps going up and down your back. You don't have to have a vision from heaven to see an angel float down in your bedroom. All you got to do is come. He'll help you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you if you'll come to it. Come to Him this morning. I guarantee you He'll save you. He made a great supper. He made a great invitation. And He made a great readiness. Now think. The Bible said, come, for all things are now ready. What's ready? What is ready for you to come to the Lord this morning? Well, the Holy Ghost is ready. The Holy Ghost is ready. He said all things are ready. He didn't do like a wedding I had to do here not long ago when it's supposed to start at on the hour, and it was like 35 minutes late, and they was all running around, and the groomsman wasn't in there, and the bridesmaids off up there, and got stuck in a limousine on top of the hill, bunch of crazy stuff like that. It wasn't like that. He said, this thing's ready. It's ready. It's on time. It's on time. The great invitation is, the Lord's got it already. All you got to do is come. All you have to do is come. All you have to do is come and get it. You know, that's what they used to say when Mama go out and ring the supper bell or beat on us. Come and get it. You remember that? Come and get it. Remember that? Well, Mama say, come and get it. And I thank God this morning. Thank God, hallelujah. Thank God, hallelujah. All things are ready. All things are now ready. The invitation is being given. The Holy Ghost is ready. The church is ready. The church is ready this morning. Our church this morning is ready for you to come. You listen? The church is ready for you to come this morning. Shining Light Baptist Church, whether you realize it or not, you didn't just walk in here this morning and all this just happened to be here. There's been preparation. We've been working. How many of you people sitting in here this morning worked on bus route, or you at least tried to get somebody to come to church today? Would you raise your hand, please? I did. Look at that. Hands all over. I mean, that's a multitude of hands all over here. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? This has been prepared. The preparation has been made. Our church has prepared all week long. I've prayed and said, God, bless Sunday morning. God, bless Sunday morning. God, you know, and you're here this morning, and the church is ready for you to come. Not only that, the Word of God is ready to speak to you. That's what I'm doing right now. When I'm preaching the Bible, God speaks to you. Now, a lot of people get all tore up over that. They say, well, a preacher ain't God. Well, I mean, of course he's not. Anybody in the right mind knows preacher ain't God. I mean, who'd be dumb enough to believe that? No, he's just a man. I'm just a man like everybody else. But when I or anybody else preaches God's Word, God speaks through His Word. And His Word says for you to come to Him. His Word says for you to come to Him. The church is ready. The Lord is ready. The Holy Ghost is ready. The Word of God's ready. Not only that, the preacher is ready. The preacher's ready for you to come. The Bible said, we preach the Word of God right now. I'm ready for you to come right now. I don't even want to get through. It's 11:45 right now. I don't even have to get through. I'm ready for you right now. You say, well, I don't want to interrupt. You won't interrupt me, bother me one bit. I've had people get saved right in the middle of preaching. I've had to quit preaching before this. I've seen it bust loose before and people knocking chairs over and getting an altar, and there'd be more people up here praying than there was sitting down. And we just stopped and shouted a while and two or three got saved, and then I picked up and finished the sermon. I'm telling you, the preacher's ready. You ain't going to bother me one bit. If you jump up out of that seat and run down here and say, God save me, I'm telling you, the preacher's ready for you this morning. Amen. The angels in heaven are ready to protect you. The Word of God's ready. Heaven is ready to receive you. If you was to happen to die today and say you're ready to go to heaven. Now I'm telling you, brother, that he said all things are ready. The only thing that ain't ready is you. You're the one that got the deciding factor. Factor, the church is ready. The Bible's ready. The preacher's ready. The Holy Ghost is ready. The choir's ready. Everybody's ready. Are you ready this morning? If you'll come to the Lord, he'll save you. You listening to me today? If you'll come to the Lord, he'll save you. Amen? Now let's look at these three men just a minute this morning. One of them, the reason he didn't come is he had something to see. He said, I bought a piece of ground and I got to go see it. I don't know how they bought property back in them days. Probably some, I'm sure it's not as much paperwork and complicated and ridiculous as it is now. With all the tax work and all, you know, legal stuff and everything. But they had some way of sealing up a deal. If a man bought some property, say he bought some acres of land or he bought something like that, they had some way of doing it. And he said, you won't come this supper? And this man said, I'm sorry, I can't come. I bought some ground and I got to go see it. Now you mean tell me he couldn't wait till after that supper to go see that land? I believe he could have. And that's why it said he made an excuse. Listen, are y'all listening to me? This excuse stuff don't get you off the hook. I said, well, where was you at Sunday? I was tired. That it? Does the Bible say you're only supposed to worship God only when you're not tired? Don't you think Jesus was tired when he went up there and gave his life on that cross? Brother, that is an excuse. Say amen right there. I don't know if it's still raining or not, but it ain't in here. Can y'all please just say amen and just say hallelujah? Listen, brother, that man didn't have no excuse. He made one. Amen. He didn't have no excuse. He said, I've got to go see it. The man could have said, well, not till after the supper you don't. You can come and eat this supper. Come on. What was the real truth? The real truth was he didn't want to go. And the real truth was he didn't want to go. He wanted to go see that ground. All he could think about was that ground, that ground, that ground. And ladies and gentlemen, you know the world's full of people this morning, and I do too, that all they think about is this business deal and that business deal. You going to church anywhere? Well, no, man, I'm making a living. I'm going here. This deal's going to come through, and I'm going to sell this property over here, and I'm going to buy this business over here, and I'm going to do that over there. He didn't have no excuse. He just made one. You know what he should have done? He should have let that property sat there, went to the supper, honored the Lord, done what was right, and it would have been waiting on him when he got done. But people just make up an excuse. Listen, if you don't want to get right with God, you'll find some excuse. Daddy always said people do what they want to do. And if they don't want to do it, they'll make up, well, I was there and I was tired and I had work. That's a bunch of junk. That's a bunch of junk. If you want to do it, you'll do it. And if you don't, you'll find an excuse to keep from doing it. Say amen right there. He had something he wanted to see. I'm telling you something, brother. I know people, all they think about is something to see. Well, we want to go here, and we want to go there, and we want to see this, and we want to see that. And I'm not against that. I'm not against vacation and traveling and stuff, but I've been traveling since I started preaching. And it finally starts sinking in on you that everywhere in the world, I mean, they got steak there, they got big shrimp there. Okay, you know what a big shrimp tastes like? Two little shrimp. I mean, you say, well, but they got big lobster. Well, it's just more money, that's all it tastes the same. And listen, every exit you get off has a Waffle House and a BP station. And I mean, it's all the same. It's all. What do you want to spend your life out there just looking for something? And when you get back home, you're broke and mad and wish you hadn't even went. Listen, that man had something he wanted to see. There ain't nothing wrong with seeing where the... I've seen enough of the world. I mean, I've seen Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, and all of it. It's, oh, I'd love to see that, but it really... I remember when I seen Niagara Falls, I thought, I mean, it's big, but I thought it'd be bigger. I mean, the way they make it look like on TV. I mean, I heard there's a guy from Texas up there, and they always like to brag, you know, and a New Yorker said, you got anything in Texas like that? And he said, yeah, we got a plumber can fix that leak in 10 minutes. But always something bigger, something better. Always something like that. Listen, this ain't nothing this world's got out there that's more important than getting to the Lord and getting right with God. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with traveling. If you can, God bless you. Praise the Lord. But listen, people, this is more important than seeing this world. He wanted to see something. He wanted to see something. The second man had something he wanted to do. You know what he wanted to do? He said, I got these cattle and these ox, and I'm going to work on them. That's cars, things. I need to paint my house. Sunday's the only day I've got to work. I'm tired. I work all week, and Sunday's the only day that I have to go see Mama and my family. But he can play golf on Saturday. And Sunday's the only day he's got to go see Mama. Amen. Listen, that book don't say come unless your mama's sick. You can get mad. You can say, well, I don't like you. You're too hard. Whatever you want to. But there ain't no excuse for you not coming to the Lord this morning. There ain't no excuse. That book didn't say come unless you had your feelings hurt somewhere and you got hurt. I had so many people tell me, well... I had so many people tell me, well, you don't understand, preacher. I was hurt by church people one time, and I just never have went back. Listen, cry me a river, would you? Yeah, come on. Amen. You want to hear about getting hurt by some church people? See me after church, and I'll write you a book. Don't give me that baloney. Don't give me that bull. That's a bunch of junk, people. You say, well, I went to church one time and I got hurt. Well, grow up. Get over it. I'm going to the supper. I don't know about you. I'm going to go get what the Lord's got for me. Of course you're going to get hurt. You'll be all right. Amen. That's part of growing up. You'll get over it. I mean, get in there and get the supper, brother. Listen, when we used to go to the movies every Saturday night up in Marion, every Saturday night, it didn't matter what was playing. Wasn't nothing else to do in town. The old house theater. Every Saturday. You say, we didn't look to see what was... I didn't know what was going on half the time. After we watched it, we still didn't know what it was. Sat there and talked and cut up and fold popcorn, pull girls' hair. And we used to do that every Saturday night. And there was a hateful old woman up there, fussed at us, told us to shut up. And a guy tried to fight me outside one time. This guy, I mean, I was like 13. And he was standing there and he said... Some old blondie. That's why he called me blondie. Because my hair was like, he wanted to fight me. You know what I done? I went right back the next Saturday night. You know why? Because that's what I want to do. I'm so tired hearing people say, well, some things happened at church and I'm just never going to go back to any church. That's what one lady told me. She said, I'm never going to join another church again. Is that what you mean? You're backslid? That's what you mean, ain't it? Hey, that ain't God's fault. Don't get mad at God because some of His kids don't act like they're supposed to all the time. Amen? Amen? Don't get mad at the Lord because some of His kids don't do what they're supposed to. It ain't His fault. There ain't no excuse for you not. There is no excuse for anybody in here not being right with God. I don't care. You can say, but Brother Danny, you don't understand. Yes, I do. You don't understand. There ain't no excuse. There is no excuse. You are without excuse. It's an insult to God for you to sit there and say, well, I used to live right, but this happened and that. No excuse. You say, well, Brother Danny, I got my family. No excuse. You say, well, Brother Danny, I got no excuse. None, zero, whatsoever, none. You have no excuse for insulting God like that. Last man had something he wanted to enjoy. First man had something he wanted to see. Second man had something he wanted to do. Last man said he wanted to join. He got married. He's going to start a family. He wanted to have fun, go to races, go to ball games, go shopping. All on God's time. And the Bible said that man got angry. Angry. Y'all teenagers know that it makes him angry when you say, uh-uh, I'm not going to church. I'd rather do this. I'm tired. I got homework. No excuse. I'll tell you a story right quick and I'm done. It was the evening of October the 8th, 1871. This was the heyday of the great preacher, one of the greatest preachers ever been on this earth, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody preached in the Moody Tabernacle there in Chicago for many, many years, and the house was nearly packed that night, one of the largest crowds he had ever had. D.L. Moody was a tremendous, unbelievable preacher. Not even a well-educated man as far as the world goes, but he had God power. They said D.L. Moody never was even ordained. And he wasn't. They said, oh, well, how can a man preach that's not educated? Not God called him, that's how. And they said he robbed hell of 1 million souls. And D.L. Moody stood to preach on October the 8th, 1871, in the Moody Tabernacle in Chicago, Illinois. And he stood and he preached on the subject, what will you do with Jesus? And he had a great song leader that stuck with him all them years. They were a team, Moody and Sankey, Moody and Sankey. Those great evangelists would have a song leader that stayed with them, and they preach and they would sing. And Ira Sankey got up and sung the song, Today the Savior Calls. Death is nigh, the words of the song were. Repent! And D.L. Moody finished his sermon that night, and Ira Sankey sang. But they said before the song was finished, they had to stop the invitation. The fire trucks running down the streets of Chicago. And that was the night that famous Chicago fire, I'm sure you read about it, seen documentaries on it, stuff like that, broke out and nearly burned the city down, brother. Nearly burned the city down. People died. People screamed. And D.L. Moody had told them, he said, now I want you to go home and think about this. And next week we're going to give an invitation and all you people who wants to get saved can. And he said, that was the biggest mistake I ever made. And he said, I'll never preach again without giving people an invitation to come to the Lord. And he had a young man that he'd been witnessing to. And this man early, was just recently married, early 20s. Back in the 1870s, a young man, what he wanted to do was go west. Because they were digging gold out in California and they could find gold and get rich. And that's what all of them wanted to do. I'm going to go out west, get rich, come back. And D.L. Moody witnessed to this young man. He said, friend, why don't you get saved? Will you get saved today? And that young man looked back at him and he said, listen, I don't want you talking to me about this. I'm going west. When I get back, I'll talk to you, preacher. Well, he kept talking to him every time he'd see him. The young man kept saying no. And then they called him and said, that boy's in the hospital. Bad, bad shape. So the preacher got his Bible, went down out of the hospital, looked at that young man, he said, friend, he said, I want you to come to Christ. Come to the Lord. Come, for all things are now ready. Come. And I said, that boy laying there, and he's real weak. And he's just saying, I'm going west. I'm going out west. I'm going out west. And he got better. And he got better and got back on his feet and went home. And the preacher seen him again and said, when are you going to get saved? When are you going to get saved? And that boy said, I'm going west. And he said, I'm telling you, don't you ever mention that to me again. He said, I'm going out west. When I come back, I'll get saved. And that's, he said, all right. And he made plans to leave. D.L. Moody went home. That night. That night, young people, somebody beat on the preacher's door. It was that man's wife. She had a blanket around her saying, Preacher! Preacher, can you come? that night. He run. The young man was laying there at the point of death. And he said his eyes was set. He was just looking up like this. And D.L. Moody said, I think it's too late. He said, he just told me today never to speak to him again. Y'all listen to me this morning. You can wait one time too late and insult God. Never have another chance. Never have another chance. This might be, you listen, you teenagers, young people, if you're fooling around living in sin, this may be your last chance. He said that boy was laying there mumbling something like that, and his eyes were set. And he said, D.L. Moody got down and he prayed and said, Dear Lord, give this man a chance, please. Dear God, save this young man. Dear Lord, God, save. And he died. He died. You know what he done? He insulted God's goodness. Leave me alone. I'm going out west. Don't talk to me about this no more. That's insulting God. It's insulting God. You know what I think? I think the Lord is dealing strong with somebody in here today. Don't insult Him. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed.